Like say good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning as we come to study God's Word and hope, pray, and trust that the things that we look at today will be beneficial to us. Hope that y'all had a great week last week. Hopefully you'll have a good week this week in serving the Lord, being an example to those who are on the outside that God may be glorified. On last Sunday, we began our study on faith, and this series under Engraving Heavenly Truths is Faith, Hope, and Love. And last Sunday and Wednesday, we were talking about faith defined. And before we get any further, let me say this. I was looking at some things and having a conversation with a good brother of mine, and we were talking about Galatians chapter 3:21. I brought that point up. How the Bible says there that if there had been a law which could have given life, then righteousness would have been of the law. And I made the comment that under the law there was not life. And that's not all the way true. And I need to correct that. And then I'm going to ask Brother Brian to pray for me because we want to be precise in everything that we say. And it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's me or Royce or anybody, if it's not fully true, then it's not fully true. And 1 John 2 and verse 21, there is no lie in the truth. So in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 23, let's demonstrate this first so I can show you the error that was in my mind, and now it is not. In Proverbs 6 and verse number 23, there the Bible teaches us, for the commandment, talking about the law, that for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproof of instruction are the way of what? Life. But now look at Romans chapter 7, and look at verse 10, under the law of Christ. Romans 7 and verse number 10, notice what the Bible here says. Romans 7 and verse number 10. And the commandment, this is Paul talking, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. So it's clear that the law could bring life if one was obedient to it. But there's a problem under the old law. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 4. In Hebrews 10 and verse number 4, notice what your Bible says. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. And he goes further on, he talks about how it was through the body of Christ and the blood of Christ that was going to take away sin. So the main problem that the old system had is that it could not remove sin as it relates to blood. That's why Jesus had to come. So when Jesus came, he shed his blood. We know that his blood went backwards and forwards, forgiving those who were under the old system and forgiving those who were under the new system from that point forward to the time in which he returns, Hebrews 9, verse number 15. So I wanted to make that point and be very precise. And as a gospel teacher, preacher, and now an elder, I definitely want to be as precise as possible when it comes to teaching God's Word. So I do want to say that I apologize for that, and I've sinned in not fully understanding that, but I do now, and I'm going to ask Brother Brian to come and to pray for me.
I'll pray right here. Let's pray. Our Holy God and Father, we're grateful for the measure and opportunity of changing by humility, by learning to do better, to always correct ourselves, to find that straight and narrow, and to venture it faithfully. We pray that you'll be with Brother Bonner, pray that you'll be with us all as we study, and we humbly meditate upon thy scripture, that we'll never come to the conclusion that we are omniscient, that is, that we know all things, knowing that thou art the only true and living God that knows all things. Help us again stay focused, help us again stay faithful, and always about glorifying thee in everything we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. So we talked about faith defined. We talked about faith demonstrated on Wednesday. But we also talked about faith delivered. And that's when I made that point under faith delivered. And we also talked about faith must be continued in. Remember, who can tell me what is the biblical definition of faith before we go any further? What is the biblical definition of faith?
I'm sorry, you'll have to finish it.
It's the evidence of things hoped for. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Good, that's right. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. How does one obtain faith?
Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
Romans 10:17. How is God pleased? How is God pleased?
Continue in faith.
All right. What's the passage? Remember? Hebrews what? Hebrews what? All right, that's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
11:6.
What does that say?
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Great, great. So already we see a few things. Number one, we understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Trust, confidence, credence, reliance upon Jehovah. We also saw that the only way to obtain faith is through the hearing or understanding of the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. We also see that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Right? So he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, we didn't discuss this, but I'm going to add this to it. The gospel mixed with our faith will cause us to be faithful to God. What happens if they're not mixed? What's the opposite? We're not faithful to God. Look at Hebrews 4. Look at verse number 2. Brian, give me 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I believe it's verse number 24. I want to show you something real quick. Because we're supposed to continue in faith. Continue in faith. All right. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 2. We'll start at verse number 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us reverence, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard, remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, did not profit them. Here's the reason why. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So it's important that the gospel message and our faith, our courage, our credence, trust in God come together. But not just come together, but stay together. The word mixed there is also used, this word is only used twice. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 24, Brother Brian, I want you to read that passage. And there's a word that I want to bring out that gives an illustration of what the Hebrews writer is demonstrating to us. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 24, what does the Bible say?
For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked.
God has tempered. God has tempered. He has composed. He has put it together. All of our parts are together. They go hand in hand. They're tight, right? Amen. All of our ligaments, our vessels, veins, everything is all together. It's composed. It's compact. It's tempered together. That's the illustration that God has given us as it relates to Hebrews 4, verse number 2. And our faith and the gospel message are to be that closely intertwined with one another that you can't tell the difference between the two.
which means that our faith ought to mirror the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, but I want to make this point as an illustration. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Quran. Hearing by the catechism. Hearing by the Baptist manual. No. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You can't mix it. And that's the problem with idolatry in the old, under the old system and the new system. And this is why it was vitally important for me to apologize, because if I didn't get that straight, you will go and believe something that wasn't true. Is that true? Is that right?
Yeah.
It's important what we believe, friends. It's important what I believe. It's important what you believe. Because we exercise and we live out what we believe. So, this is why we have to continue in the faith. Remember, we was looking at those five things. We're not going to go over all of them, but there are a few that I want us to revisit, and then I want us to look at our faith, okay? Remember, we looked at Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. We looked at that. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Question, before we go any further, what is the gospel? Now, I'm not talking just generally, but give me as much as you can give me as a class of what the gospel is. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So what is the gospel?
Death, burial, and resurrection.
All right. The death, the burial, the resurrection. To go even further, the appearance of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. What else?
Plan to be saved.
Say again?
Plan to be saved.
All right. Plan of God to be saved. All right.
God's mind be revealed to all inspired word of God.
All right. The inspired word of God. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Say again? Alright, the new covenant. Good.
Prophetic fulfillment.
Alright. Jesus fulfilling the what, the scriptures? Okay. Alright. Good. What else? What else?
Christ died for our sins and made salvation possible.
Okay.
That he was God's son.
Alright. Him being God's son. We're gonna discuss that. Good. What else? Ma'am?
New life.
All right, the new life. Romans 6, 1 through 4. What else?
Obedience.
There's a few pieces that I want to see if we can gather.
The law of Christ.
All right, that's incorporated. Sir?
As opposed to the law of Moses.
Yes, sir. What else? What did she say?
Everything
that pertains to
life and
godliness. Okay. Alright. What else? It's a very important piece that I haven't heard yet.
The counselor?
Ma'am?
The counselor?
The counselor. Alright. That's part of it.
Salvation.
That's part of it. Okay. Okay. What else?
The story of how to be seen in the God.
Okay. What else?
The faith.
Look at Mark 1:14 and 15. Royce, give me Romans 8:12. Acts 8:12, I'm sorry. In Mark 1:14 and 15, Jesus came preaching. John had just been cast into prison, and what did he come preach? Who wants to read that? Anybody?
Now after John was in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.
What does the gospel include?
The kingdom.
The kingdom. Royce, give me Acts 8, verse 12.
But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized.
In 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 13, the Bible says, for by one spirit you're all baptized into one body. Friends, we cannot have the gospel without the kingdom. You can't have the gospel without the church. You can't have the gospel without the church of Christ. And that's why you can't preach a half gospel. You have to preach all of it. Paul would call it the whole counsel of God, Acts 20 and 27. The whole counsel. So Philip preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus came preaching of the kingdom of God and repentance. Repentance is part of the gospel. One cannot remain in their sins and be part of the kingdom.
Amen.
It can't happen. Now, one can be on a church roll, but the kingdom is spiritual. It's spiritual. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Yes, sir.
But you go into the religious world and virtually everybody believes in either a faith-only or a grace-only salvation, which means that they don't believe that baptism for the remission of sins in order to come in contact with the blood of Christ means anything. Well, that's the only way that believers in Acts chapter 2 were added to
That's right.
That's what they were instructed to do. To repent and be baptized.
Amen. That's right.
Church is absolutely essential.
The church is essential. So y'all was giving some great answers. So I just want to help y'all to give you that one that's vitally important. So when we're talking to our religious friends and they're talking about the gospel and the good news and what Jesus did and him coming to the earth and the virgin birth, we're going to talk about that. And what about the kingdom of God? About the church of Christ. So when Jesus tells Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, he said, thou art Peter. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going to give you the keys to the what?
Kingdom.
So the kingdom and the church are one and the same. All right? Yes, sir, Brother Brian.
I was going to say just here recently, I had someone in the denomination tell me as long as we agree on the death, burial, and resurrection, we can be bred. And they would like to keep it that way. But there's, it'd be very difficult to exercise faith if that was all there was.
Amen. You have to have all of it. You have to have all of it. Great conversation. All right, so.
Let's go back to Romans 12:12. Because I was discussing with one person, friend of mine, and I think he was wrong. But as for the body is one and has many members, he pointed this out, that all the members are part of one body. That's why they believe what they believe.
And that's an easy one to discuss, because we understand that Christ is the head of the body, and the body has many members. And Ephesians 4, verse 4 and 5, there's one body. So now we have to identify what is that one body. And faith demonstrates to us that one body is the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we talk about that and we discuss those things and try to get them to see that faith teaches this. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we keep that in mind. Great, great point. That was 1 Corinthians 12:12, I think he was referring to. Remember, we looked at Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We're not going to discuss that again. Galatians 3, verses 10 through 12. Nehemiah 9, 26 through 30, just in case y'all didn't get those notes on Wednesday. But now look at Hebrews chapter 10 hurriedly, and we'll do 32 through 39. So we can talk about what our faith is to do for us, if you will, and some things our faith must be in. In Hebrews chapter 10, 32-39, let's revisit this again. But notice what the Hebrews writer says, "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated," you can put Ephesians 1:18 right there, "you endured a great struggle with sufferings," great struggle with sufferings, "partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches," meaning that they were talking about you and bringing things against you, "and tribulations, troubles, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods." So they were stealing from them, if you will. "Knowing that you have a better," and notice, "and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven." Now notice what he says, in heaven, not on earth. Friends, make no mistake about it. There's some false teaching going on about the rejuvenated, regenerated earth, and how this earth is going to be seemingly refurbished. That's false doctrine. That's false doctrine. And let's just be careful. Let's read for ourselves. This is in heaven. We've got something to look forward to in heaven, not on earth. And notice what he says. "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence." That's faith. That's trust. "Don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance," meaning hanging in there, hold on, "so that after you have done the will of God," not your own will, but God's will, "you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith." Now, this is a quote again from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 4, and also Romans 1:16, Galatians 3, verse 10 through 12. He says, "Now, the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back," meaning turns away from their faith, turns away from that which God teaches them to do. Notice, "my soul has no pleasure in him. For we are not of those who draw back to destruction, perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." What do we think that the Hebrews writer is encouraging the Hebrew Christians to do? What is he encouraging them to do?
Persevere.
What else? What is he encouraging them to do? I'm sorry?
Stay faithful.
What else?
Be patient.
Okay. What else? All of those are 100% right. What is he encouraging them to do? Because we have to apply it to our lives today.
To believe.
Say again?
To believe.
All right. Let's put "keep" in front of that. Keep believing. Keep believing. Just because one believes when they obey the gospel doesn't mean that they're going to be saved. You got to keep on believing. It's just like you have to keep on obeying Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep." Literally, present active indicative, which is a statement of fact. Keep on keeping my commandments. Keep on. Not a one-time deal. It's not like some teach, once saved, always saved. No, we have to keep on having trust and faith. Yes, sir, Brother Brian.
Verse 32 says, "Call to remember the former days."
Yes.
It's not really true to say we don't remember our former days. It would be false to say those are the glory days. But in regard to history, we're to remember the former days.
Yes.
And remember what we are now. And so I think sometimes we tend to lose sight, just like with Israel in this book, they wanted to go back to Egypt.
That's right.
Because they only thought about what they were getting, and they, like they said, it's not all bad things.
That's right.
So you have to keep a comprehensive, real perspective on the former days. Anyway.
Excellent point, Brother Brian, because our faith, our trust and confidence in what God has done for us, washing away our sins, giving us a hope of eternal life, giving us brethren that we can commune with, giving us the Lord's Supper that we can stay in contact with the Lord with, prayer. You have all these things that God has given us, and he's saying, okay, you come out of that. Remember that. But don't forget where you're going. Stay focused. And I love this illustration, and whoever came up with it did a wonderful job. The rearview mirror. You don't drive looking in the rearview mirror. You glance at it. You glance at where you come from. This is why when you turn back to your old lifestyle, it's like a dog turning to his own vomit. And God is saying, no, I don't want you to do it. That's what you used to be. Trust me. Have faith in me. It's going to be all right. And everything that they were going through during this particular time, they had to endure. Hang in there. And Brother Brian is going to be discussing that on Wednesday as it relates to the Hebrews 11, Hebrews of Faith. All right. Any comments before we go any further?
Remember Lot's wife.
Remember, good point. Remember Lot's wife. That's a great, great passage right there. All right. Number five, our trust in God concerning various topics. I had a conversation with a brother in Christ this week, and in that discussion, I guess he forgot about the virgin birth to a certain degree. And the more I was talking to him, I was thinking, well, how can you do that? But friends, if we don't remind ourselves or what Jesus did, or what God did, I'm sorry, by sending his son by a virgin? Really, the death, the burial, the resurrection seems to be the foundation of our faith. But if there's no virgin birth, there is no death, burial, and resurrection. Remember in Genesis 3, verse 15, the prophecy there? It was a great prophecy. And you remember in Isaiah 7 and verse number 14 that a virgin shall conceive, bring forth a child. And also in Isaiah 9 and verse number 6, for unto us a child is born. Now notice this, unto us a son is given. Those are two different things. See, the son couldn't be given by human beings because the son was given by God. So, when we come to the virgin birth of Matthew chapter 1, 21 through 23, now this prophecy being fulfilled, Sister Williams, our faith is in that. The Lord's people believe that Jesus Christ came by way of a virgin. Our faith is based upon this virgin who had never been with a man, who is now pregnant and bringing forth a son, not Joseph's son, God's son. And the idea of a son is seed, descendant. All right. And Christ is that seed, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing what God did. Our faith is in that. So when someone says, I don't believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, there's no way you can have faith in God. It's no way. If our faith stumbles because of that, then we need to strengthen our faith in that. We have to believe that. So when we consider the virgin birth, we consider the death, the burial, the resurrection, yea, the appearance of Christ. All of those things are so important. Our faith is in the faith. And so the Jews, they stumbled at Jesus being born of Mary, but not of Joseph. John 8. They say, we've never been in bondage to any. In John 8, they pretty much call Jesus illegitimate. Jesus said, I proceed from my Father. And he wasn't talking about Joseph, friends. He was talking about his Father in heaven. And so that's why it's important for us to believe that the Word became flesh. John 1, 1 through 14. Any comments? Anybody want to add to what I just said? Anybody?
Well, that's a part of Hebrews 11, 1. So a part important about faith is the aspect of evidence.
Yes.
The way you mentioned the prophecies just a moment ago, those prophecies of the Old Testament being demonstrated as fulfilled is evidence.
That's right.
For us to still have belief in the miraculous.
That's right.
Miraculous. The birth of birth is miraculous.
That's right.
You or I can't define that under a microscope or a telescope.
That's right.
But I believe it because Mary had a baby because she knew she had no man.
That's right.
So that's evidence.
Let me give you a...
You believe that.
Amen. Let me give you a passage. Maybe I've seen it, maybe you haven't. Jeremiah 31, verse 22, Jeremiah prophesies of this virgin birth. This is right before he prophesies of this new covenant, okay? In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse number 22, you go back and you read the rest of the context, and he says, "How long will you gad about, O you backsliding daughters? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. What will that new thing be? A woman shall encompass, literally, to go around a man." That's a great, great passage. You know what God is teaching us through Jeremiah? That God didn't need a man to bring his son into this world. I can do that myself. Friends, our faith is in that. Our trust and confidence. And so we proceed forward. We keep moving on. And we're strong in the Lord because of it. Any comments before we go any further?
We don't know what the Lord looks like. So when we see him, we know what it is.
That's right. 1 John 3, 2. That's 100% right, brother. Yes, ma'am.
Jeremiah what?
31:22. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Just as a quick quotation, Jeremiah was written literally hundreds of years before
That's right.
the coming of Christ. So this wasn't something somebody's spur of the moment. Ooh, I think I see something in this man Jesus. This was penned many, many years. I'm not sure if I've got notations of when Jeremiah was actually penned.
627.
About 600 years.
Yeah.
Okay, before the birth.
And notice what Isaiah did 700 years before the birth of Christ. I mean, it's amazing what God did with this plan, friends, that we have. And this is what we have to get as foundational in our hearts, that we know for a fact that God is with us. All right? So, since we have faith, since we trust God, now, let's get practical for a few minutes. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. In 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7, since we know God is with us, since we have faith in God, let's do some things. Let's do some things. Let's do 6 through 7. 6 and 7 for time's sake. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Since we trust God, let's humble ourselves under his mighty hand. He will exalt us in due time. Here it is. Casting how many of your cares?
All.
All, friends. All. Because I trust God, I'm going to put it all on him. I mean, I'm going to go to prayer. I'm going to make sure that I rely fully upon God. I'm not going to trust myself. I'm going to trust in God. And we have Bible for that. Proverbs 3 and verse number 5. All right? So we trust God.
If we think of it as our lifeline, and hang on to that, through all the tribulation and everything, it sure helps.
If we think about it as our lifeline in the midst of all of our tribulations, it sure helps. That is 100% right. It is our lifeline. Our faith is our lifeline. What is Satan trying to do? He's trying to
separate us from God.
Trying to separate us from God, trying to destroy us. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I'll get it right immediately. Yes.
Pervert.
Trying to pervert. What else? Starts with a D and ends with an out. It's trying to cause us to what?
I have faith.
To doubt. Where do we get in the most trouble? When do we get in the most trouble?
When we worry about things that we can't control.
When we doubt.
When?
So,
when we understand we don't control anything.
Oh man, amen. When we doubt, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If I doubt that, I won't live by it. I'll buy books. I'll listen to podcasts. I'll listen to what men say. I mean, if it can help me. But if I go to the word of God, and God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, here it is. Through the what? Knowledge. Friends, our trust has to be fully in God. And notice the end of that passage. The reason why? Why? Why should we cast all of our cares upon Him?
He cares for us.
He cares for us. And we live in a world today where many people don't care about people who don't really, they really don't care about. But God always cares about us.
Amen.
He cares about the person right now that's committing sin. He cares about that person.
Mm-hmm.
He wants them saved. So God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Look at Philippians 4, verse 10 and 11. Philippians 4, because I trust God. Because I trust God. I have faith in Jesus Christ. My faith teaches me to work. My faith teaches me to love. My faith teaches me to trust, have confidence. Verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in regard to need, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be what? To be what?
Content.
Content. The faith teaches us to be what? Be what?
Content.
There are some that's not, they're not content with their spouses, they're not content with their jobs, they're not content with themselves, they're just not content. And when you're not content, actually it's the idea of grumbling against the one who provides for you. Not content, always looking for the next best thing, always, always. And faith teaches me to be content. Be content. So Paul said, I had to learn this behavior, though. It's a learned behavior. All right?
But can't that also be used as a double-edged sword? Can't you also be content in where you're at in Christ and not study like you should? You know, you reach a content point where you stop when you really shouldn't have.
And that violates 2 Peter 3, verse 18, where the Bible teaches us to grow in grace.
Right.
And 1 Peter 2, verse number 2, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. So a person who is content, they're not going to stop growing. As a matter of fact, you find a person that stops growing, you'll find a person that's not content. But you find a person that's growing, you'll find a person that's content. They're okay with the lot that they have. Look at Hebrews 13:5. These are just some little points that I wanted to bring out. Hebrews 13:5. It's a good passage for us. Let your conduct, your lifestyle, be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say the Lord is our helper. So forth and so on. Question. Can the person who has faith in God, I'm talking about genuine, active, active faith, can they say, the Lord is with me? But if you doubt at the base, you'll doubt when the tribulation comes. Well, those things that are challenging. And all of us have challenging things that come to our lives. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12, yea, all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. So we have to learn contentment. A few things real quick before the bell rings. What can faith do for us? What can faith do for us? A few things. Number one, it positions us to please God. I put that as number one. I put that as number one. At least that's in my mind. It positions us to please God. That's a powerful position. People are always vying for positions. Always. Whether on their jobs, financially, socially, always vying for position. Power. But the best position to be in is pleasing God. Number two, it matures us when we read. It grows us up. Romans 10:17. Number three, it can show we are alive when worked by love. Look at Galatians 5 and verse number 6. I'm going to try to finish these. Give me a couple seconds after the bell. Galatians 5 and verse number 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith, confidence, trust in God, working through what?
Love.
Working through love. Friends, we can't truly have the confidence and faith in God unless we work it through love. 1 Timothy 1 verse 5, I believe it is. Now the end of the commandment, the purpose of the commandment is love, out of a pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith. All those things are very important. Number four, it gives us hope and life. It gives us hope and life. Hebrews 11, verse 1. It causes us to abound before our Maker. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, real quick, we see something that I thought was pretty powerful. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1, 4, and 8. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtain like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 4. By which have given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, through that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse number 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith teaches us these things. It causes us to abound before our Maker, before God. So when people say, well, I don't know why I'm not progressing spiritually. I want to look at some of these things. I'm not talking about financially, socially, in your relationships per se, but with God, are you abounding? Number six, it positions us to receive the end of our faith, the salvation of our soul. 1 Peter 1, verse 9. That's a good passage there. Friends, we are saved, but we haven't been delivered yet. Our deliverance comes when Jesus returns. So we just keep on laboring until our death or until Jesus returns. Number seven, if we're not careful, it can become dead, not mixed with works. James 2, 19 through 26. And look at 1 John 5, verse 4. I wanted to save this one for last. And this will position us for Wednesday's study with Brother Brian. 1 John 5 and verse number 4, notice how important your faith is. 1 John 5, verse number 4. For whatever is born out of God or of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What's that, John? Our faith. Friends, our faith is vitally important. So, on Wednesday, Brother Brian will be discussing Hebrews 11, heroes of faith, and hopefully this study has been beneficial. God bless you.